Wednesday, January 22nd, 2025, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you got a long weekend. I know here in the States, we had a holiday on Monday. We had Martin Luther King Day. Hopefully, you're coming off of that long weekend. Yeah, it's always a little bit tough to get going again, but I'm hoping you had that three-day weekend. That's always kind of nice right after those holidays. I hope your week is going well. Hope you, your family, and your friends are all staying strong and staying healthy. And hey, starting off just right up front, Monday night, we had the very first college football national championship as part of that 12-team college football playoff. And it's kind of exciting. I mean, we had the number 8-seeded Ohio State Buckeyes facing the number 7-seeded Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Now, Ohio State was favored by 8.5. They're just so explosive. They're so good at times. That offense can just score whenever. But hey, the game started, and it wasn't Ohio State. No, it was Notre Dame showing they had a game plan for how they could pull the upset. Notre Dame used, you're going to think I'm misspeaking here, I'm not, an 18-play, 75-yard drive that ate up nearly 10 full minutes of the first quarter. Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard carried the ball 9 times and threw 5 passes. He ends up plowing his way into the end zone for a touchdown. Hey, Notre Dame up 7-0. Maybe Notre Dame can e-clock, keep the ball away from Ohio State, and actually pull off the upset. But then we saw Riley Leonard. And Riley Leonard didn't look great. The camera followed him to the sideline. He threw up. That drive had taken everything out of that poor kid. In fact, our Daily Dose I-team was able to run down some audio from the Notre Dame sideline that no one else has been able to get. You got to check this out. You take a listen and see what you think.
Are you all right, sir?
Fine. How have you been?
Fine, sir.
Good.
It's a good thing you were wearing that helmet.
Yeah.
What should we do now, sir?
Well, are we stopped?
We're stopped, sir.
Good. Well, why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Very good, sir.
Smoke if you got 'em.
Yeah, you can just tell Riley Leonard was just exhausted at the end of that first drive. So what happens? The Buckeyes respond by running off 31 straight unanswered points. Hey, quarterback Will Howard was red hot, played one of the best games of his career, and freshman wide receiver Jeremiah Smith, they just had no answer for him. Notre Dame couldn't cover that kid all night. Most every ball bounced Ohio State's way. I mean, think about it. Notre Dame doinked a short 27-yard field goal off the upright. That was an easy kick. Not that night. The bounces just didn't go their way. Like, for a minute, you had to stop and go, what on earth has the Catholic Church done to deserve this? And then, I mean, you know, you remember.
How dare you?
Sure, the Irish sort of closed it up late when they pulled within 8 points. But even when they did, Ohio State just went on another scoring drive. They end up winning 34-23 in a game that really didn't ever feel like it was in doubt. And hey, I know that most everyone outside of Columbus, outside of Ohio, was hoping for any finish other than that. But I give a lot of credit to the Ohio State Buckeyes. They have beaten every single team in the top 8 of the final rankings except for Georgia. And they did it by an average margin of victory of 15.5 points. That's impressive. Just for comparison, Notre Dame has beaten exactly 4 top 5 teams in the last 19 years. And like I said, I know a lot of people were rooting against Ohio State in the big game. I know there were even a lot of people rooting for Notre Dame head coach Marcus Freeman to become the very first Korean coach to win a national championship And like I said, on Martin Luther King Day, no less, hey, that would have been really, really cool. What's that? He's what? No. I heard them say on the broadcast, he's Korean. Is he really? That's so weird. You would think ESPN would have mentioned that once or twice. I only heard half Korean. Huh, never came up. That's amazing. Anyways, well, we may not have had the first, half black, half Korean coach win the national championship, but we did get something special. We did get the very first head coach who colors in his beard with a black magic marker won a title. And I mean, that is still something, right? Hey, congratulations to the true national champions. The Michigan Wolverines win the first... What's that? I said what? I did not say that. Did I really? Hey, that's my bad. My bad. Starting off the show a little slow today. My apologies. Congratulations to the Ohio State Buckeyes for winning the very first 12-team college football playoff. Hey, you won it all. No one can say anything to you now about losing big games anymore, right? Ryan Day proves everyone wrong. He can win big games when they really matter. The ultimate rivalry games. Ryan Day gets those done. Hey, you should be stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week and see what new things we have going on over there. We have links to the podcast. We have links to new articles this week. If you saw the article go up this week, it had kind of a world flavor. Kind of a scary article that I had to write this week, but it had to be done. So make sure you go over there and check it out. We have links to the podcast. We have links to the video. And yes, we do have links to articles, but we also have links to Daily Dose gear. Maybe you need a new hoodie, a new sweatshirt, a new t-shirt. You can get it in whatever color you want. A number of Daily Dose logos to choose from. Also, you can email the podcast anytime. I've heard from a few listeners lately. It's not always good, but I will always take the time to respond. It's always good to hear from you. You can email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com. Would love to hear what you have to say. Hey, today on The Dose, we will be recapping the march to Super Bowl 59 as the NFL playoffs are now down to the Final Four. We will recap the games that took place over the weekend, and we'll be making our picks for what is coming this Sunday in conference championship weekend. Plus, we will have a Daily Dose top five for you. You know, we saw a big upset in the NFL over the weekend. How does that upset rank all time? We will get to that in just a few minutes. But first, let's start off in the world of college football, where quarterback Cameron Rising is no longer a member of the Utah Utes football roster. That is what head coach Kyle Whittingham confirmed last week. Injuries have limited Rising to 3 games last season, after he missed the entire 2023 season with a torn ACL. Whittington had this to say: I've talked to Cam a few times, but that is really up to Cam to divulge that when he wants to divulge what his plan is. We've certainly had communication, and you don't see him on the roster right now, so that can tell you some things there. I'll leave that up to Cam to outline exactly what his plan is. Hey, Rising led the Utes to back-to-back Pac-12 championships and Rose Bowl appearances from 21 until 22, he set career highs in 2022 with over 3,000 passing yards and 26 touchdowns. But then, like I said, he had that knee injury in the Rose Bowl against Penn State, and that kept him off the field for 2024. And then he had a finger injury. Then he had a leg injury. He only played 3 games. Now, in his career, Cameron Rising completed 63% of his passes for over 6,000 yards. He had 53 touchdowns in 30 games for the University of Utah. He also rushed for nearly 1,000 yards and another 12 touchdowns. But Cam Rising first logged playing time in his sophomore season back in 2020. He's now 25. And I know here at The Dose, we make fun of guys like Cameron Rising, make fun of them for playing college football year after year after year. We call them old men and stuff like that. But in all seriousness, Cam Rising, you're an old man. Stop wearing your letter jacket to college parties and start selling cars already. What are you doing? One other news item of note: legendary Milwaukee Brewers play-by-play announcer Bob Uecker passed away last week at 90 years old, sending the entire baseball universe into mourning. You know, Bob Uecker, he was more than just a team's announcer. Dude was legitimately funny. His incredible delivery led him to acting roles, including his memorable appearance in what might be the funniest sports movie ever, Major League.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
And it's funny, if you watch Major League, you'd think that's who Bobby Uecker was. It wasn't. He was just that good at playing that role. But Uecker will forever be linked to the Milwaukee Brewers. He was a Milwaukee native. He was a Milwaukee Brave for a short time. And he was the team's broadcaster for 54 years. Bob Uecker told some of the greatest stories ever. And he just seemed like such a good, good guy. Major League Baseball and the sports world will miss Bob Uecker. So the NFL playoffs have now advanced to the conference championships, and we did finally get a big upset. The Washington Commanders and rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels are headed for the NFC title game, and the number one seeded Detroit Lions, well, they're doing what they do every year. They're watching the rest of the season on TV with us. We thought this might be the year. Hey, this Detroit Lions team, they look different. Yes, they had injuries. It didn't seem to matter. They would find someone else, and they just kept winning. But on Saturday night, the Lions faced a perfect storm of a decimated defense, a very dangerous Washington team, and a really, really bad night from starting quarterback Jared Goff. The Commanders forced 5 turnovers, 4 interceptions by Goff, including a pick 6, and then Jaden Daniels just shredded that Detroit defense. Washington's offense posted 521 total yards. Washington beats Detroit 45-31. Hey, Daniels is just making the right decision on every play. And he's throwing such accurate passes. He's not missing anything. And the Washington Commanders, an absolute embarrassment of a franchise since, what, the turn of the century? 99? A team that was 5-12 a year ago has completely flipped their fortunes in just one season. You think ownership doesn't matter? You think the people at the top don't matter? Oh, no, it's just the quarterback. It's just the players. Yeah, right. The Commanders are the story of the season right now. And the big story is, hey, clean house, get good owners, get good people who know how to do their jobs. Yeah, you'll probably have some success. The other number one seed in the NFL, hey, they just continue to win. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes has never lost in the divisional round of the playoffs with the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Houston Texans have never won a divisional round playoff game. The Chiefs beat the Texans 23-14, and once again, it wasn't always pretty. But you know, there are certain plays in games where you look at it and you say, hey, this is a big play. This play will help dictate the outcome of this game. It might not be the final play. It might not be the biggest play, but this play is going to weigh heavily on whether or not we win this game. And Kansas City makes those plays every single time. And Houston failed to make those plays on Saturday again every single time. Yes, the Chiefs got bizarre help from the officials that I can't explain. And yes, Patrick Mahomes gets calls if you literally breathe on him. And yet, he does make the plays when it matters most. You know, I'm tired of the narrative on all the national sports shows where they say, hey, Patrick Mahomes gets calls. Yeah, he does. But all the great quarterbacks do. Do they? Or do all the great quarterbacks now get those calls? Because I remember a day when John Elway and Jim Kelly and Joe Montana and Dan Marino, they weren't getting any of those calls. Oh, you want to hit Joe Montana in the back of his neck with your helmet? Eh, feel free. That's fine. Don't tell me quarterbacks have always gotten those calls. That's a huge lie. Quarterbacks used to get blown up, and if they did, too bad. You better learn your lesson. Mahomes gets all the calls. I get Tom Brady got all the calls. It's mostly those two guys, though. Let's not act like this has been going forever and forever. And like I said, Mahomes does get calls, but he does make plays when the game matters most. Hey, the Chiefs do have vulnerabilities, but they keep finding ways to win. And anytime they need a first down or they need a big play, Travis Kelce is always open. 10 times out of 10, every time, without fail, the Kansas City Chiefs are back in the AFC Championship game for the 7th straight season. It's impressive. flip the Lions out. The Philadelphia Eagles become the top seed in the NFC remaining, but they did have to scrape past an upset-minded Los Angeles Rams team that is just such a pain to play against. Playing in a heavy snowstorm, the Eagles rode running back Saquon Barkley to advance past the Rams 28-22, but it wasn't easy. Barkley rushed 26 times for 205 yards, which is crazy because you know he's used to being like on the beach by now. Like, he's been with the Giants. He's not used to playing into January. He's usually done by early December. Quarterback Jalen Hurts only threw for 128 yards on the day, but he also ran for 70 yards. And that Eagles defense, when they have to be, they are just so tough. Trailing by six, Rams quarterback Matt Stafford led them on a 60-yard drive to the Eagles' 22-yard line, but the Eagles once again managed to get pressure without blitzing, and they forced the Rams to turn the ball over on downs. Now the Eagles get home field advantage for this NFC title game on Sunday. The final game of the weekend was a highly entertaining heavyweight fight between the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens. Again, we saw snow, and we also saw the two leading MVP candidates in Bills quarterback Josh Allen and Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. But the story of the day, at least for me, was the Ravens made crucial mistakes and the Bills did not really make any. Hey, the Ravens turned the ball over three times, two fumbles and an interception by Jackson, and yet they had a chance to tie the game up late, but Jackson's pass on the two-point conversion to tight end Mark Andrews was dropped, and the Bills survive and move on. Bills 27, Ravens 25. Hey, the Bills played relatively mistake-free football, and that was the knock on Josh Allen. Hey, he makes big plays, but he also makes dumb plays. Well, don't look now, but he's made some big strides this year in eliminating the dumb plays. Now, did Allen win the MVP on Sunday? Yeah, probably. But one crazy thing to think about. In all four games this past weekend, the team that had the most total yardage lost the game. So what's the takeaway? Turnovers. Turnovers will bury you. The only game in which the losing team did not commit more turnovers than the other was Chiefs versus Texans. Neither team had a turnover, but Houston missed three kicks. So same difference. Hey, it is really tough to win at this level when you turn the ball over and you beat yourself. Eliminate the plays that beat yourself and you're going to be in it. So now, who will be moving on to Super Bowl 59? Going into the season, I had picked the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Detroit Lions. I know everyone thought I was kidding. I was not. Now the Lions are gone. I'm going to have to tweak my pick just a little bit. Let's start in the AFC. The AFC Championship game will feature the Buffalo Bills going to Kansas City to face the back-to-back champion Chiefs. Hey, no team has ever won three Super Bowls in a row. Are these Chiefs going to make history? Well, beating the Bills to even get to the Super Bowl, it won't be easy. The Chiefs defense is playing really well, primarily because of that pass rush, which sacked Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud eight times this past Saturday. But the Bills do a pretty good job of protecting Josh Allen. You know, he only gets sacked about one time per game. The Chiefs allow about 100 yards rushing per game, and that could be the key of the game, at least for me. If Buffalo Bills running back James Cook and the Bills can move the ball consistently on the ground, I think they could win this game. On the other side, the Chiefs' offense has been in a funk all year. Do you realize that the Chiefs are one of just five teams in the NFL this year that have not scored more than 30 points in any game all year? Okay, that sounds a little crazy, but who are the other four teams? The Raiders, the Giants, the Patriots, and the Jets. It's not great company. Okay, so how are the Chiefs winning games? But one of the biggest ways, they convert third downs. Patrick Mahomes finds ways to move the chains, and it is usually finding, like I said, an always wide open Travis Kelce. When the game is on the line, the Chiefs make every play. The Bills have to get off the field on third downs. Hey, the Bills beat the Chiefs at home back in November, 30-21. They did it by stopping the Chiefs' running game and forcing Mahomes to throw two interceptions. Can they do it now on the road? What's that? Got some breaking news. Do we really? We have some breaking news right now. Just coming in right now as I record this. Let's see what this says. Buffalo Bills called for roughing the quarterback. Seriously? It's Wednesday. You can't call that now. You can't call it already. I'm not believing that. I don't think that's accurate. Well, it might be accurate. I'm going to say Chiefs win 23-20. But I'll say this. The blueprint is there for Buffalo. Can they execute it? Over in the NFC, the surprising Washington Commanders will travel, like I said, to Philadelphia to face the Eagles. Of course, these teams are divisional rivals. They know each other. They split the series this season. The Eagles beat Washington at home 26-18 back in November. The Commanders outscored Philly at their home stadium 36-33 in December. But remember, Philadelphia had to play that game without Jalen Hurts. Kenny Pickett was actually starting at quarterback. Hey, the Commanders are playing so well right now. Jaden Daniels can do no wrong. I said this back in our playoff preview. Sometimes being young and dumb means you don't know any better that you shouldn't win these games. They're winning games and everybody's like, how are you doing it? They don't know any different. Jaden Daniels is making all the plays. He's making the right reads. He's throwing accurate balls. Here is the problem that I see for Washington in this game on Sunday. Their offensive line allows quarterback pressures. They lost their starting guard on Saturday night. That's not good. On the season, Jaden Daniels was sacked 47 times. That's a few times per game. That isn't good against a team like Philadelphia. Because like I said, Philadelphia can get pressure with just four guys. They don't have to blitz. They don't have to get cute. They bring four, drop seven into covers and say, hey, we bet we can beat you. And they usually do. The other problem is that the Commanders' defense allows about 137 yards per game on the ground. Well, that is a perfect fit for what the Eagles want to do with Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts. I don't know that Philly is capable of blowing out anyone, but I think they can dominate this game. Jalen Hurts, he'll throw for like, I don't know, 84 yards, and it won't matter. Eagles 27, Commanders 16. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get over to our Daily Dose top five. On Saturday, the 15-2 Detroit Lions were sent home in their very first playoff game of the season. Hey, the Lions were so beat up by health issues. They are now just the second 15-win team to not win a single playoff game in the Super Bowl era. Detroit was an 8.5-point favorite against Washington on Saturday, but they got sent home early. Hey, that's brutal for a team with the longest Super Bowl drought in history. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week. Was the NFC North a little bit fake? Kind of looks like that might have been the case. But was it the biggest upset by point spread in NFL history? Not even close. In fact, as you'll see today, it doesn't even make our top five. Today, our Daily Dose top five is counting down the top five NFL postseason upsets by point spread. So we are looking for that specific number. We start off at number five. And we start with a team that has quite the championship drought going right now as well. The Minnesota Vikings have been victims a number of times in the playoff, but this one unfolded on the biggest stage possible. Super Bowl IV marked the final time that we had an NFL team facing an AFL team as the 12-2 Vikings faced the 11-3 Kansas City Chiefs. Those two teams represented their two leagues that would eventually merge the next season. Well, the Chiefs were led by quarterback Len Dawson and running back Mike Garrett, while the Vikings had quarterback Joe Kapp and that purple people eaters defense. Well, you have to remember, at that time, the NFL still had a pretty big superiority complex. Now, there might not have been any reason for it, but they had it. Everyone still thought the AFL teams were a joke. But the Chiefs firmly spoiled that narrative. They took a 16-0 lead into halftime. It was never close. They cruised to a 23-7 win. The Minnesota Vikings were upset in Super Bowl IV despite being favored by 12 points. That comes in today at number 5. We move on to number 4. Well, actually, we move on to number 3 because this is actually a tie for third place. And I think most NFL fans understand why the New England Patriots were favored in the Super Bowl they needed to win to become the first NFL team to go 19-0 after they had won every single game of the season leading up to Super Bowl 42. The Patriots were absolutely stacked everywhere. Tom Brady, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Troy Brown, Ben Watson, and on defense, you had Teddy Bruschi, Vince Wilfork, Asante Samuel, Rodney Harrison, and Bill Belichick is leading the way. Well, it's no wonder the Patriots were installed as a 12.5-point favorite when they were facing a New York Giants team that had just gone 10-6. Of course, the game didn't go that way. The Giants got a great performance by their defense, and Eli Manning got a little bit of help from an unknown wide receiver by the name of David Tyree. The Giants stunned the world with a 17-14 win that ruined New England's perfect season. The Giants beating the Patriots in Super Bowl 42, despite being 12.5-point favorites, comes in tied today at number 3. We go back to 1996 for the other game that is tied at number 3. Where the Denver Broncos were Super Bowl favorites after clinching the top seed in the AFC with a 13-3 record during the regular season. They got a week off, but then the expansion Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Buffalo Bills, and they would advance to the divisional round to play against Denver on January 4th, 1997. Well, the Broncos were loaded. They pulled out to a 12-0 lead in the first quarter, before Jacksonville actually stormed back and took a 13-12 lead of their own going into halftime. During that run, they scored 23 unanswered points behind quarterback Mark Brunell and a wide receiver named Jimmy Smith. Well, the Broncos had eventual MVP running back Terrell Davis. The problem was they only gave him 14 carries despite the fact he was averaging 6.5 yards every time he touched the ball. I don't know why. Head coach Mike Shanahan, he kind of outcoached himself. Denver attempted a fourth quarter comeback, but they fell short. And while they would go on to win the next two Super Bowls, both John Elway and Shannon Sharpe say this loss was the worst moment of their career. That's including some other pretty rough Super Bowls. The Jaguars upsetting the Broncos when Denver was a 12.5-point favorite comes in today tied for number 3. We move on to number 2. And this is yet another Super Bowl featuring again the New England Patriots, where most NFL fans are familiar with what happened. But this time, it was New England pulling off the upset. Drew Bledsoe had started the 2001 season as the starting quarterback for the Patriots. And then he was sidelined by like a ruptured spleen, and they brought in an almost undrafted quarterback by the name of Tom Brady. Well, Brady wasn't that well known, but he went 11-3 in relief. He led the Patriots to Super Bowl 36 against the top-seeded St. Louis Rams. Now, the Rams had gone 14-2 and looked like they would have a decisive edge over New England. Hey, this was the greatest show on turf. Kurt Warner and Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce and Marshall Faulk. However, the Patriots would take a 17-3 lead into the fourth quarter before the Rams would tie the game up. But then, Tom Brady got the chance to do what he'd end up doing a million times going forward. He had a late drive. He set up kicker Adam Vinatieri for a game-winning field goal that gave the Patriots their first Super Bowl win in franchise history. Well, they also made some history because the St. Louis Rams were 14-point favorites in 2001. But they got knocked off. And that lands them today on our list at number 2. So we reach the number 1 biggest NFL postseason upset by point spread. And we go back again to when the NFL was thought of as king and the AFL was just the ugly stepchild. 1969 marked the first year the championship showdown between the AFL and the NFL was officially called the Super Bowl. And this one kind of lived up to the hype in some ways. Starting Jets quarterback Joe Namath famously predicted his Jets would beat the Baltimore Colts in the Super Bowl, but he was probably the only person who genuinely believed they could even hang with the NFL team. Don Shula had led the Baltimore Colts to a 13-1 record with quarterback Johnny Unitas throwing to tight end John Mackey. The problem was Johnny was banged up, so the Colts decided to go with Earl Morrill. Well, Morrill was ineffective. Unitas would actually come in later, kind of hobbling, and he actually made it at least a little bit interesting, but it was too late. The Jets pulled off the stunning upset in a game where they had a 16-0 lead in the fourth quarter, and then, like I said, Unitas led the Colts to one meaningless touchdown, but Broadway Joe was named the MVP, and with good reason, because the Jets were a whopping 18-point underdog, but they beat the Colts in Super Bowl III, 16-7. Hey, on Saturday, we saw a pretty big upset when Washington knocked off Detroit. And there are a number of reasons where we get these upsets. Injuries, they had a big effect on this one, and some of these on our list today. An inflated sense of who a team is can affect those betting lines. Coaches getting out-coached or out-coaching themselves. Players having the worst games of their career. And yes, talk about it again, turnovers. Hey, in almost all these big upsets, turnovers and mistakes play a huge part. Could we see any more upsets this postseason? Maybe not big ones, but we could still see some upsets. Honestly, I'm just hoping for some good competitive games. We haven't had enough of those yet this postseason. Hey, next week on The Daily Dose, Super Bowl 59 will be set. We will begin to get you ready for what we hope is an exciting matchup in the big game. Plus, we'll keep you up on anything else that might come up in the world of sports as only we can. So make sure you check out The Daily Dose and make sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do it. I say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Are you all right, sir?
Fine. How have you been?
Fine, sir.
Good.
It's a good thing you were wearing that helmet.
Yeah.